with the voice of an archangel, of the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And this is our word of comfort to the members of the bereaved family today. And we hope that this service this afternoon will bring comfort to your heart and will serve to bring each of us into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ and help to prepare us for his imminent return. May God bless you.
In times like this, it is comforting to know that there is a rock that we can all stand on, and Christ is that solid rock. At this time, as we continue in the service of thanksgiving, I invite the congregation to stand, please, and may the three families stand your name seated if you wish. And we will sing the hymn, the first hymn in our brochure, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness.
You for what you are, we want to praise you and thank you for your many blessings to each of us individually, to your church, to this nation, and for all of your goodness that we all have received and enjoyed. But as we thank you, we want to thank you above everything else for the provision you've made for our salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you for it, we recognize it, we accept it, and above all, we surrender to you. Grant that your Holy Spirit will come near to each of our hearts and speak to us and be to us the things that we stand in need of. For only in you can we find the answers that our hearts cry out for from time to time. Only in you can we find the strength that we need to overcome the difficult times. Only in you can we find the hope that can keep us moving until that glorious day. So Lord, be near to us, each of us. May we hear your voice. May we feel your presence. And as we praise you, may our hearts be uplifted. We want to hear a word from you today. We want to hear your word in times like these. So use your servant, Dr. Allen. Speak through him to us, that we may see that your promises are firm, that you will come again, and there is hope after the grave. Comfort the Albury family, Anne, Anson, Alden, Brendan, and all the Albury's, all of the friends and members, and those who have been touched by this great love. We need your comfort today. But as we praise you, we want you to accept our praise because we thank you for what you have shared with us through the works and life of K.D. Albury. May your will be done in our lives through which you have revealed to us through him. And grant that at the end of this service, each of us will be so committed to you that we will be used by you to lead others into the wonderful experience of eternal life. Bless this service, we pray. May it bring honor and glory to your name. And may others see how wonderful and great you are. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We now invite the Meister Singers of the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists to give us the euphonious strains of their musical tribute, We Shall Behold Him, the Meister Singers.
When the sky shall unfold, the stars will.
Singers, what do you say? We thank God for the gift of singing. And thank you very much for that lovely item of music. At this time, I would like to continue with protocol here, and I would like to, of course, apologize to the leader of the opposition, whom I overlooked at the beginning, Mr. Hubert Ingram, Honorable Hubert Ingram, leader of the opposition. Also, Senator Dr. Marcus Bethel, who is the Health Ministry Director, Health Director of the Bahamas. Also, I'd like to recognize all of the other members of Parliament who may be here with us, senators, ministers of religion, other officials. I'd also like to recognize the presence of Sir Cyril Fountain, who is with us, and also our Deputy Commissioner of Police, Mr. Ellison Greenslade. Brothers and sisters, all, we're so happy to have you with us today. As we continue with our program, we would like at this time to call on Shannon Butler, nephew of the deceased, who will bring to us a responsive reading found in our program, Isaiah 40, verses 28-31.
Scripture will be read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. We will read responsively. Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. Even youth will be exhausted, and young men will give up.
But the who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will lie high on these eagles. They will lie and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Here ends the reading.
Thank you very much, Shannon. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time I would like to ask you to stand as we recognize the first of our Prime Minister. Our Prime Minister, Right Honorable Terry G. Christie. gentlemen, the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. As we continue with our service, we will now have a special item of music that will be written by the colleagues and ministerial friends of the late Pastor K.B. Aubrey. We will now stand and sing for you, Seeking the Lord.
Brother Keith was not only a colleague,
but in my view, a spiritual son. I shall never forget the first time I met him. If I became, along with his good friend Jeff Thompson, to visit the Come Alive tent on Bernard Road where we were running a crusade. It was at that crusade that he took his stand for the Lord, and he never turned back. I encouraged them to go to school, both friends, and they both went and completed their education. Dr. Keith was no ordinary preacher. He was a most eloquent man and a great scholar. He believed in scholarship, and he had a mind that was as sharp as his eye. It would be difficult to find any leader so young who has accomplished so much as a leader in the church.
I'm very pleased to be able to say something in honor of my good friend and colleague, Pastor K.D. Aldrich. We have had many years of wonderful fellowship, service together in the hospital. He came into the ministry during my prison visit in the Bahamas Conference. And ever since then, we have consulted together in evangelism, church administration, and even on some personal matters. And so we honor a great man who was ready to meet his Lord. I know this. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a wonderful relationship with him and accepted his salvation.
He looked out for the interests of all of the workers, of all colleagues. And as I reflect upon him, I'm always remembering that. And I trust that as an administrator, I can always emulate that aspect of his ministry and of his administration. When you look at the way he operated, it would appear that he possessed a sense of grasp and understanding and wisdom that is just ahead of his time. And this is really remarkable. You look at Pastor Aubrey in a committee meeting, he knew what was going on. He knew how to control that committee. People could not take advantage. He was in control. He was the leader. One was able to look into the future and determine what is in the best interest of the organization. Some years ago, as you know, we resided on Shirley Street, thanks to our old headquarters. And there was talk, we were talking about a new headquarters for us. Pastor Aubrey came up with a plan, and we started to work together. Before we knew it, this building, the new conference headquarters on Howard Road, was going up and eventually was completed and dedicated. And today, every time I look at that building, I remember the creation of Pastor Aldrich. I think back to our days in college. I only spent the last year and a half of my college days at West Indies College in Mandeville, Jamaica, with Keith. He was one of my very best college friends, along with the other members of our group called the Liberals, all theology students. That included Paul Scavella, Hal Steve, Arlie Sizom, Jeff Thompson, and myself. You know, when I think of Keith and the days that we spent in college, I think of a bright, a visionary, a vivacious man. If we go back, you know, I think of the time when it was my birthday on campus, and in the dorm, and he was one of the culprits that came and threw powder on me. I believe it was Jeff Thompson who snapped the picture that you're now seeing on the screen. I think about the last time I saw him, which was in St. Louis, Missouri, this last summer. At the general conference session, and we were able to have lunch together with Ann and Keith and Elaine and I, and just have wonderful times together. Two things that stand out to me about Keith while we were in school. First of all, he was a man of fellowship. We could always call on him to say, come guys, let's just have a good time, let's go to school. obviously always want to ministry retreats together. Had a wonderful time. Secondly, he was determined. There was a time when he couldn't meet his obligations for school and had to drop out of school for a semester. But when he came back with more energy, and he made the time with an extra long class with summer classes, and he was able to graduate at the same time that he was scheduled to. This says to me that nothing he would allow to stop him achieving the goals that God had put in his heart.
Back in school days, he was a very fun-loving guy, mischievous in many ways, and both he and I always got into trouble, and we even had groups that used to get into trouble together, but he was always a talkative guy, fun guy, and you never know what he was going to do next. Remember, we had a class reunion, and at the class reunion, both he and I shared from the pulpit. And some of our fellow classmates came up to us and said, God, I believe in God now. So if you all could be in the position that you are in, I believe in God. As I look back at his contributions, I'm sure all of us feel very, very proud of him. We're also sad that he had to leave us, but in leaving us, at least he has left a legacy that we can all look back on for years to come and be reminded of. This is the type of father, this is the type of man that we need in our society.
My friendship with Dr. Keith Stenfeld Aubrey spans almost four decades. We were born in the month of August and have roots in Youth Rock. We grew up on Old Cedar Street in Yellowella Gardens. We had afros. We had pinstripe suits. We accepted Jesus Christ as our personal savior in 1975 under the dynamic preaching of Dr. Silas McKinney and became members of the Grandstown Adventist Church. We were members of the Advent Singers. We were literature evangelists. We pioneered dual preaching and even preached in our sacerdotal roles. We matriculated and graduated from Northern Caribbean University. We were members of the Liberals at NCU. We graduated from Andrews University in 1990. We married beautiful ladies. I was the best man in Keith's wedding, and he was the best man in my wedding. He looked like Denzel Washington. Meanwhile, I favor Muhammad Ali. We came out with two children. We built our first home next to each other in Cato Beach. We served on the Executive Committee of Western Union for the past 15 years. We both served as mission and conference presidents. We both completed terminal degrees in 2004. You bet, I will miss him. However, a part of him still lives on in me. Thus, on behalf of my wife and family, coupled with the entire Cayman Islands Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, I would like to convey our deepest sympathies to Anne, Alden, Anson, Brendan, to the Aubrey and Brennan families. May God bless you in Jesus' name.
Keith Aubrey has been my friend for more than 35 years. I remember so many wonderful times that we've shared together. I remember the wonderful stuff, the discussions we've had, the fights we have had, but more important than any of those things was fun times. The times we shared the laughter. There is nothing like the laughter of Keith Aubrey. He had this wicked laugh that just made you stop and think about having a good time. I knew him so well. I always knew when he had a great decision to be made. He would come and he would talk to what we term the inner circle, the kitchen cabinet, the amazing Kenny DeVos guy. We had listened to Keith just present things that were difficult for him, difficult decisions that he had to make either as a pastor, as a country's president. He'd run them by us and we'd discuss them, we'd thrash them out and we'd argue over them. The joy has always been to see him listen to us and incorporate some of our advice into the decision-making process. My friend made that be idealized or enlarged in death more than he was in life. He was a special person, but special to me. And I think that the body of his work and who he was will live as a lasting legacy to who he or he was. I can still reflect on the last discussion I had with him, the last Sabbath on earth. It was a joyful time. We talked about many things. I watched her see, laugh and talk with him. He was danced in the bed in his own way, even though he could not get up. My last words to him were, friend, I'll talk to you. Today, that's what I'm saying. I still say to him, I'll talk to you.
He would boast to his chief corner friends, both the males and females, about how no one could run faster than his bow leg. One Sunday afternoon, he challenged them all to a race. But those not in the race watched from the sidelines, while he stood at the end of his carefully marked out course, a 50-yard dash. At the top of the word goal, he began jumping up and down and yelling his long roar.
Throughout these many Nothing Baby Boy came into the world weighing in at 8.5 pounds. He was harmful from the very beginning. So very energetic. He set out to walk very early and get out just out to climb quietly out of the crib. Fifth Street, Arbor Island, always came alive each morning when the noises of Pete, his cousins, and friends as they rode up and down the streets on the mind shift bus. Oh, how he loved this little bumpy. As he grew older, he ventured into other parts of the island, climbing trees, hopping barricades, and just simply getting into mischief. The purpose of Christ's mother is that each of her children live a life that is pleasing. I know that he lived that life.
Look back on his life.
one thing I can say. It will be even possible for me to rewrite or revisit the experience with God or change nothing. What a loving Father.
occasion, we would like, we're very happy to have with us a number of our friends from the business community, also from our churches here in Grand Bahama. And we would like to ask at this time Mrs. Lily Moss, Deputy Chairman of Grand Bahama Port Authority, to come and bring us a word of greeting. She will be followed by the Member of Parliament for Marco City, Honorable Bridgewater, and then Dr. J. Emmett Ware of the St. Paul's Methodist Church, and then we will have, bringing us a word of tribute, Bishop Ricardo A. Grant, President of the Bahamas, of the Grand Bahama Christian Council, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Tinker. And as protocol has already been established, and in the interest of time, if you would permit me, I would dispense with the formalities, Mr. Prime Minister. And simply say to the Reverend gentleman and to the Reeves family and to all of the body of Christ, greetings in the precious name of our Lord and soon coming Savior, Jesus Christ. I count it an honor to be among those who've been afforded the privilege of participating in this service today. And I begin again by giving God thanks and praise for the wonderful and marvelous gift he gave to us in the person of Pastor Keith Albury. Tammy and I, his sister, work together at the Port Authority. She's been there with us and with me for 15 years now. And I believe I first met Pastor Albury more than 10 years ago when he was passing through Grand Bahama on business and came into the offices at the Port Authority to check on his little sister, Tammy. He had only a few minutes between his commitments, and although our encounter was a fleeting one, in those few moments I recognized that I had met no ordinary person. In fact, I was so impressed with him that when he left, I said to Tammy, "There's hope for you yet." Pastor Aubrey and I have met on many occasions since then, and particularly in the past 3 years. And we have shared much. We both served on the Constitutional Committee, a commission that was appointed by our Prime Minister. We both attended many of the same official functions, and unfortunately, we both have had encounters with cancer. Albert Einstein reflected on the purpose of man's existence when he said, "Strange is our situation here upon the earth. Each of us comes for a short time or a short visit, not knowing why, yet sometimes seeming to a divine purpose. From the standpoint of daily life, however, there is one thing we do know, that we are here for the sake of others." Pastor Albury certainly was here for the sake of others. I have reflected over and over again on his passing, and I know that in the flesh, I will never know why. But bolstered by my belief in Christ, I accept that like Jeremiah, God knew us all before we were even formed in our mother's womb. And God's word declares that he knows the plans he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. Trusting in God, therefore, and leaning not to my own understanding, I give God thanks for allowing me to meet a man who blessed my soul with his awe-inspiring messages, for allowing me to meet a man who has wisdom, knowledge, and understanding far beyond his years, for allowing me to meet a leader, a scholar, an orator, counselor, visionary, extraordinaire, for allowing me to meet one of his greatest ambassadors. When I met Pastor Keith Albury, I met a man who walked with God. I met a man who talked with God. And I now know a man who is resting in the Lord. A man who has a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. On behalf of the co-chairman, executives, management, and staff of the Grand Bahama Port Authority, and on behalf of my family, I extend heartfelt condolences to Sister Anne, Sister Finette, and Brother Wendell, Tammy, and all of your siblings, and all others of the bereaved family, the members of the Bahamas Northern Mission and the Bahamas Conference. May God grant you all his peace, which passes all understanding, and may the soul of my dear friend, Pastor Keith Hoffman, rest in peace. Amen.
In the interest of time, permit me to greet you as follows: the Honorable Prime Minister, members of the government, distinguished men of God, ladies and gentlemen, and especially the bereaved family, Anne and the others, good afternoon. There are times in our lives when we wonder why, and we question God. And especially over the last couple of weeks, I have had many ifs. I said to myself, if I had the authority, if I had my way, Pastor Albury would be alive amongst us. But then I'm quickly reminded of that old familiar song which says, "Thy way not mine, O Lord, however dark it be." And then I'm reminded of the wonderfulness of God, and that in all things, his purpose must be fulfilled. Even though it is dark, surely God's way is being done. When Sister Anne called and asked me to bring brief remarks, for which I am greatly humbled and honored, and I certainly thank you for that. I said that I would write a great speech because I was going to speak about a great man. And then I started to write, and even as late as this morning, I started to write, but I couldn't get my thoughts together, and I said, well, I guess this is the way Pastor Albury wanted it to be. And so, as I reflect on the years that I've known this great Christian man, this great church leader, I realize that his greatness and his leadership extended far beyond just the church or the Seventh-day Adventist family. Indeed, his leadership extended and transcended. It transcended political barriers. He walked with all. It certainly extended far beyond the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. I am an Anglican, and it extended to me and to others. It extended into the communities, the community services, the feeding programs, the free fairs, the mission headquarters, and recently the groundbreaking ceremony for the community center. It extended into the halls of Parliament. Indeed, just in the building next door, late last year, when I attended a service, he said, so eloquently, and yet, and so forcefully, he said, Miss Bridgewater, we watch you as you perform in Parliament. And these words would remain with me for the rest of my life, and certainly throughout my political life in the years that I spent in Parliament. He said, we are watching the behavior of the members of Parliament. And many times, we are not pleased. In fact, there are times when we are embarrassed. Say, but I am pleased to say, Ms. Bridgewater, that you are one of the members of Parliament that make us proud that you are our representative. But he said, I want you to tell your colleagues. Now, we are disappointed many times in their behavior, and we expect them to conduct themselves as honorable men and women. And so, the time that I have left in Parliament, and whenever I step into the halls of Parliament, I am reminded that I am to conduct myself as an honorable woman. And so I thank Pastor Aubrey for that. And so, Sister Aubrey, as you share in this sadness, I don't want you to think of it as your time of trial and tribulation and temptation. But instead, yes, maybe as a time of testing of your faith, but to think of this passing as a blessing, because you were truly blessed to have him as your husband all those years. You're truly blessed that he shared his life with so many, that he is touched in a very positive way the life of so many, not only of the people here in Grand Bahama, in the school that he has built, in the churches that he has built, but in the work that he has done. And then you are blessed because you have the foundation upon which to work and to see his dreams and his vision materialize, and to see it continue even in his death, working in a real way, in a way that creates and affects life. And so, yes, you will miss him. And that is expected because you're human. But he has touched so many. And his death will continue to affect others who are alive in a real positive way. And so we thank you for lending us to him. We thank God for such a great man. And we pray that God will continue to strengthen you, that God will continue to teach you in his love, in his care, in his grace and his mercy as you go through the rest of your days. We pray that the soul of our dear friend, our dear brother, Pastor Aubrey, would rest in peace and rise in glory. Thank you.
Prime Minister, President of the Grand Bahama Christian Council, Pastor Allen, colleagues in the ministry, brothers and sisters in Christ, as I speak at this time, I'm reminded of the words of St. Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not ashamed of the gospel. We live in a time of great challenges to the Christian faith, coming from major sources. Militant Islam, for instance, how we've seen the response to the cartoons. I wonder if we Christians would have that kind of response when the name of Jesus is attacked. Even so often that we are ashamed and we are quiet when others criticize the name of Jesus. The growth of Rastafarianism. I began my ministry in Jamaica, in Western Kingston, and came into contact with the Rastafarian movement very strongly. What did I expect? But coming home, I would also see the same thing, and to realize that many of our young men, in fact, are attracted to Rastafarianism. The third challenge, the secular forces of the world. Those forces that say we must not have prayer schools and all those forces in the world. It seems to me, in the midst of it, that this is a time for Christians to unite and to come together to realize that the things which divide, in fact, are insignificant compared to the fact that we all name the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It seems to me that this is where our late departed brother made a tremendous contribution. It was clear that he believed and strongly in what he believed, and that he was an Adventist. It was also clear that he had that wide, outreaching aspect of life. And so one could feel that he made a contribution to all of the Christian denominations in our land at this time. And in a way, although he belongs to the Adventist faith, we might also say he belongs to us all as Christians. And we thank you for the contribution he made. On behalf, therefore, of the members of St. Paul's, and I suppose we're the nearest church, geographically speaking, to this one, we're walking distance. On behalf of the president of our conference, the Reverend Dr. Raymond Neely, I would like to say that at this time, we thank you for the contribution he made, and we pray that together we can work for the advance of the kingdom of God, continuing what he has done. For remember him most certainly by continuing the work that he began during his earthly sojourn. We thank God and pray God's blessing upon every one of us as we continue to serve him. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation unto everyone. Once you can say that, if you can say that in sincerity, then everything else, in fact, is mine. Let us work together in that goal.
Let me say, with the protocol being established, and follow the same, the Prime Minister, opposition leader, and to brave family, to all gathered. In brief, I'd like to say, in watching the video presentation that has gone forth, it spoke volume. I believe it said everything, an introduction that needs to be said. I want to just cover it by saying this. When coming into my presidency as the council's president here in Grand Bahama, I received a telephone call from Pastor Pete Aubrey. And when he began to share and began to open the things that he did as the leader he was, my heart was overwhelmed. And I myself felt a sense of affirmation and confirmation to me that I have not felt for such a long time in my life. He shared, as he would always do so as a statesman, as an ambassador, that he would lend his support and that he would back and support the council and the work and the mission under my leadership. I said, you know, here is a man who devoted his entire life to rearing and breeding leaders, who spent his life giving, teaching, and ensuring the advancing of the kingdom of God here on earth. Here is a man whose life was devoted to the work of the ministry, to his family, and to indeed the Adventist faith. When asked, a man and how a man is measured, I said a man is measured in three significant ways. He's measured in his depth in relations and relationships. He's measured by his level of insight. He's also measured by the strength of his character. When it comes to relations, Pastor Aubrey was a man of great relationships. He was one that would befriend any and all, and at the end of the day be called a friend. He shared the utmost relations with family, who was always first and foremost before him, second only to the Master. His relationship with his God was impeccable, one to always be followed, admired, and adored. He loved his God and was totally devoted to him. His level of insight was marked by the great vision and visionaire he was. When it comes to revelation, I believe he stands out to be among the elites when it came to dissecting and declaring and preaching and teaching the Word of God. Any time you sat under his ministry, you were sure to leave with a word from the Lord. Not sensualism, not humanistic ways, ideologies, or philosophy, but with a revelation of the Word of God. When you talk about the strength of the character, I say it was impeccable. His integrity was intact. He always left an indelible mark wherever he went to being the man that he was. So in my brief words and closing to you, today, Pastor Aubrey is not measured. Because if he is measured, he certainly got on the scale of 1 to 10, a 10 and a half, because he always went the extra mile. But today he's not measured. In fact, he has become the measuring tool, the measuring stick, which by many others will be measured. And today I say, may his soul rest in peace.
This time we'll be blessed by a musical tribute by Jasmine Thomas, the niece of the deceased.